Well, as you'll notice, this will be a bit different on focus than the last talks. Everything has been very hardware focused until now, and so what we have is purely the software. So it's software used for managing experiment information, so it's designed around experiments where you're testing products or practices to see how they perform, efficacy type experiments, and we've been providing this software now for a little over 33 years. So what I'd like to talk about is some tools to use for reviewing new assessments that are made. So it could be assessments that are visual assessments, or it could be measurements from instruments, or measurements, a variety of formats. But once at an experiment site, especially after assessments are made, it's important to review that information because review the quality, see if there could be potential mistakes, especially if there's transcriptions involved in the software or in entering that information. So I'd like to talk about four different tools that we have within our ARM program for reviewing assessment data. So there's a column properties tab that is relatively new, and then there is a tools section that has three different buttons. So this is all within what we call the assessment data editor portion of our software, which is where the actual plot or sample linked measurements are entered. So the values themselves are on the bottom part of the editor. The description of each assessment is on the top. Information is entered column wise. And this lower left area is the experimental unit description. So the column properties is just expressed as a tab at first, which you open to make available the components or the capabilities of that particular tab. So it is a new panel that was added just this year in the current version of our software, and it has several different parts. So I split it into the four component parts for the next series of slides. So there is an overview of data in the current column. There is the results of a full data analysis that displays. There is automatic checking for whether data might violate assumptions of analysis. And there is an area that is related to finding statistical outliers. So looking at each of those parts individually, that first part is the overall data description. So there are buttons. The previous and the next button are for navigating between each column. So each column is a different type of measurement or a different time of measurement. And so just by clicking next and previous, you'll move between the data columns. So what I show on this screenshot is column 5 properties. So clicking previous would move to column 4, next would move to column 6. So it's easy to step through a series of assessments for review. So there is a column description where it shows their column flags original, so original versus calculated data columns. The next part, the min-max entry, is any range checking or range limits that are automatically applied during the data entry. The high-low values are the lowest and the highest data point entered within that current column. So in this case, it's a percentage assessment. That 0 to 100 represents then a percent range. So underneath that, the formula is any transformation formula that might be applied. This is the description of that formula. So for this situation, we can see that the data column has a log transformation applied, and so it's actually a log of the value plus 1, because biological data contains many zeros. A log of 0 is a minus infinity, so the typical correction is adding 1 to each value for the transformation. And the refresh button is if you've made an edit within that data column while you're doing the review, just simply clicking the refresh button will update the display for any changes. So the next part is the results of a full statistical analysis. So simply clicking into a data column, the software immediately does a full analysis and presents the results of that analysis in this panel. So it calculates an LSD at the current alpha level, which in this case is a P of 5% or 0.05, standard deviation of CV, grand mean, and then the next are some data tests whether the data is meeting the assumptions of analysis of variance. So the Bartlett's test is a homogeneity test. Friedman's is a rank test to see if there's significant treatment differences based on a rank versus the ANOVA. Skewness and kurtosis are normality tests. And then on the bottom is whether there are significant evidence of replicate differences or treatment differences. So that treatment P of F of 0.0004 is 99.96% sure that at least one treatment is statistically different. The fix button on the bottom, that displays when there is evidence that the data is violating assumptions of analysis of variance. In other words, it's not a good fit for AOV. And so the fix button can apply then automatic fixes to make the data more appropriate for AOV, which generally improves precision of the analysis. Precision being the ability to statistically distinguish treatments that are actually different. So in this case, clicking the fix button will apply an automatic log transformation to correct the heterogeneity of variance, which means not every treatment has the same variance, at least one is different, and the skewness and kurtosis are normality tests. Skewness is whether the normal curve, the peak, is shifted left or right, and kurtosis is the shape of the curve, whether it's slightly flattened or more peaked than normal. So again, why care? A lot of times, if the data is not appropriate for analysis of variance, you lose precision. In other words, you're not able to statistically detect actual differences. The next portion of this dialogue is also quite a new capability, and that is immediate outlier checks. So these are interactive checks that will step through outliers depending on your selected definition. So a nice safe definition is the one of plus minus 3 standard deviations from the grand mean. And clicking then the Find Next button will step through every data point in that current column, which would then fit that definition of an outlier. So simply by clicking into a column, if the Find Next button is active, it means there is at least one outlier detected in that data column. So the Find Next button then in this example shows that the 9.5 value is highlighted. So that it's a group of subsamples. There's 10 subsamples there that are averaged together to the plot level. And so it's actually showing the plot level as being the outlier. The subsampling is used on a highly variable type of population. So the plot average is used for those. So in reviewing outliers, you have the opportunity then to review the data, especially in field, to see whether it was a data entry mistake or whether it truly does represent something that would be a statistical outlier. And if it does, it could be valid to mark it as damaged. And so if you mark damaged in that and put in a comment describing why it should be considered as damaged, then the data is automatically dropped from the analysis, handled as a missing data point. So those were the parts of that column properties dialogue. And now the other part I'd like to review is the three tools that are part of the standard assessment properties. So that is the AOV means table, which opens a full data analysis report. The box whisker, which shows a visual graph of the treatments, including the treatment stability and significant treatment differences. And then an assessment map, which some people call a heat map, to look for site-related. So differences that might be caused by the experiment site rather than the treatments themselves. So the first is the AOV means table report. So AOV is analysis of variance. And the analysis of variance in ARM is automatic once you have selected an experimental design. So for this example, it's a randomized complete block design. So there's no need to tell the software how to analyze that. It's self-evident. There's no need to put in a model statement to tell it what to do for an AOV for a randomized block design. So on that report, there is the top portion is the description of the assessment. In the middle at the left are the treatments themselves. So a description of the treatments, and then beside on the right are the calculated mean for each of those treatments across replicates. So the letter test beside each mean is results of a mean comparison test. In this case, it was a Studen-Newman-Cools at a 5% significance level. So the letter test identifies significant differences. So treatment one, the check, is significantly different from every other treatment, 2 through 5. But because 2 through 5 have the same letter behind, there's no difference between those individually one treatments and for this particular data column. Below that area, beginning with that LSD P.05, kind of at the middle, is the descriptive statistics section. So that's really the same as what we saw on that column properties tab just a few minutes ago. One difference is toward the bottom, there is a calculation of minimum replicates, power equals 80, and then the largest mean difference that could be detected. So this is a post hoc analysis. If this experiment were one where you wanted to follow up with another experiment to get more details or to better distinguish some possible effects that you were noting, then that minimum replicates is how many replicates in a repeated experiment you would need to distinguish the largest difference in that data column. So distinguishing the check 8.25 from the smallest value 1.46, 2 replicates would be sufficient. But in real life, oftentimes, if you need statistics to tell the difference from doing nothing, it's probably not worth testing anything that you did. So more often, you'd be wanting to look at distinguishing from one of the other key treatments when you're planning follow-ups. So there's a way of doing that by excluding the check and then running that same statistic to see how many replicates would be needed then to distinguish the largest, smallest of the tested treatments. And at the bottom again, the treatment P of F, indicating the evidence that at least one treatment is different. So it's whether to reject the null hypothesis that all treatments are the same. So the next review tool is the box whisker graph. So the box whisker graph shows a number of pieces of information that are useful for people who are running the trials, but you would not want to show this to a group of growers to try to explain the differences between the tested products. So the box themselves are based on a percentile. So if we look at that yellow box, the second one from the left, the top of the box, that top shoulder, see if I can get an arrow up without scrolling the screen on that. I'll tell you what, fingers always work. So the top box is the 75th percentile, so the top line. The midpoint, that narrow waist area, is the 50th percentile, or the median. The bottom is the 25th percentile, and the whiskers on the top and the bottom extend to the highest and lowest data point in that graph. So the box height shows stability. A shorter box means it is more stable across replicates. A taller box means there is more variability or a less stable treatment. So certainly when you're developing treatments or testing products as such or practices, something that is more consistent is generally a benefit. Something that varies widely in its ability to perform the task is less desirable. So the on that yellow box, the median, the 50th percentile, is shifted somewhat low. So by looking at that, I can see that one of the replicates was somewhat higher than the other 3 reps in this 4-rep experiment. But looking at the other boxes, the waist is approximately in the center, so the distribution around that midpoint is roughly equivalent in all replicates. So the little X's that are floating are subsamples that are possible outliers. A box whisker possible outlier is anything that exceeds the box height by 1.5 times. So the fact that this is subsamples of a percent disease infestation on leaves, those are not really outliers. No, they are just something that is up to a 12% when the average is 4 is really not an outlier from terms of subsamples. But it's something that is good to note if something is particularly out of range. And the other nice part of a box whisker graph is it gives a visual mean comparison. So if I would take, for example, that blue box at the very left, and kind of imagine that as a ribbon going all the way across. So any box that overlaps that imaginary ribbon is probably not significantly different. But if they do not overlap, then it's a nice visual indicator that they are probably significantly different. So actually that top of the bar shows the mean comparison letters that we looked at again from the previous slide. And so we can see that the blue box from that untreated check on the left is significantly different than the others, but treatments 2, 3, 4, and 5 are roughly equivalent, not statistically separable.
Sorry, can you go back one?
Yes.
So the purple and the green, and then they're really close to being overlapped, not quite over there.
But close but not quite is really a good description on that one. So they're not quite enough to statistically distinguish at the 5% significant level. So it depends on what you're testing, whether or not 5% is appropriate. But I think we've got a couple of minutes. That 5% significance level was something that I think Fisher came up with back in the late 30s or early 40s, saying that, well, a 1 in 20 chance of accidentally describing as different two things that are fundamentally the same, in other words, a random difference, was reasonable. And that really is determined by penalty of failure. So if you're testing treatments that are related to crop protection, for example, the failure of a crop protection product can be very expensive. You know, it can be overrun by weeds, it can be consumed or damaged by insects and diseases. So it means that a failure of a treatment is expensive, substantial yield and quality loss. So the 5% gives protection against randomly picking up something as marketable. But if you're testing plant health products, fertilizers, micronutrients, and the product fails, all you're losing is the incremental cost of that product. It's not going to drag down the overall yield substantially compared to doing nothing. So that 5%, many times for plant health or fertilizer, a 10% or even a 15% is more appropriate. So if you would slip this up to about a 15%, you may well distinguish those, the purple and the green. And the last is the assessment map, which some people call a heat map. So it overlays an assessment onto the trial itself. So the four horizontal rows or blocks on this map are replicates. And then you can see the name that's listed, like that very top left one says CHK. That's the untreated check. So we can see it's the top left and the fourth rep, the center of the third rep, the far right on the second, and the second from the left on the first replicate. So we can look and see how the check compared across replicates according to color. So on the bottom is the color key. So the range of data in the data column, column 3 in this example, ranged from 0.5 to 5. That's divided into 10 different bands, and the lowest values get the lightest color, the darkest get the highest. So it's easy to review consistency of a treatment by scanning how it, the color in each replicate for that same treatment. And the other real beneficial area is to look for something that might be zonal in that experiment. So if on the left the experiment is darker than on the right, it might indicate kind of a site difference. And when the site is confounding or complicating the treatment measurement or the assessment values, it's good to realize that. So a simple example would be a couple of months ago, somebody sent to me a an experiment where they were primarily concerned with yield of the crop. And so I looked at the assessment map, and it had a dark stripe just straight down the middle. And I asked, what happened? Oh, we had a leaking irrigation pipe. Water was running down the center of that experiment. And so it then, of course, distorted the yields because it was not a consistent moisture across that trial site. So it meant that then the treatment measurements were less sensitive because of that confounding. But if you would look at just a number table and try to pick out that difference, it would be nearly impossible because you're not seeing the physical site itself. So that site level review of data is really important to find something that might be reducing sensitivity to your treatment measurements. And so an effective review of data can help to improve quality and certainly reduce costs of experiments, which can be quite high. And the best is certainly doing an on-site data review while you're on the assessment site using something like a tablet data collection device that can do the full analysis for you. The rainy day assessments taken on a piece of paper where 2 weeks later you finally have time to put the data into the computer, if you find a suspicious number or something you don't understand, really you have no option. It's too late to go back and verify whether or not that's a mistake. So the automatic corrections, the benefit of those is that they can improve precision, oftentimes able to distinguish treatment differences that are otherwise masked, and then to identify possible side effects. So thank you.